I'm ready.
Dan's ready. Kathy's ready, I'm assuming.
Kathy, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, Pearl is back. And I know people are still eating, but we're going to resume our
discussion.
Our meeting here. And the next topic, we stopped a little early for lunch, so we'll, although it wasn't early for lunch, but
according to
never mind. Anyway, we have the executive director's goals for the fiscal year 2010. And we got those in our email, and I have to say I'm very impressed. I'm always impressed with Pearl's goals. She's got some high ideals and makes and able to put them into effect and make them work.
Right.
Are there questions about the let's see. Okay, any questions, comments?
Well, yeah, I'm still interested in that project search, and for some reason my computer wouldn't cooperate to open the website. I don't know, it's acting up, so it's, I'm sure it wasn't your on your end. But if you could just real briefly talk about that.
Project search started at the Cincinnati Children's Hospital. I actually heard the main woman that got it going and that's the head of it, I heard her speak at a national transition conference 3-4 years ago. I can't remember when I went to that thing. Just very inspiring because they, you know, in hospitals there are some jobs that they're not, you know, high medical technology, but they're things that are really important that really have to get done, and that there's a lot of turnover.
I'm sorry, I'm having a difficult time hearing yours talking.
Could we have we've started the meeting again, and we, you know, need to move on, and I don't want to interrupt any, you know, good discussions that are going on, but we need, and it's hard for the recording, and it's hard for Kathy and Daryl to hear down there at the other end of the table, so we'd appreciate cooperation.
Thank you. Okay, so project search, now I'm trying to think of some of the jobs that are, I can't think of specifics, but some of the things that have to be done for, say, keeping all the equipment sterile and all kinds of things like that. There's a lot of turnover. They're not the best paid, but they're very important. And they seem to be, you know, take a certain amount of skill and technical expertise to do these things. And so they came up with ways to make adaptations so that people with very, very involved multiple disabilities could do these jobs. And, of course, as we know, those folks were reliable. They stayed on the job. They were proud of doing a good job. And so it was a way to fill the need for the hospital and to provide jobs for many people that otherwise would not have gotten jobs. And so they've expanded to a national training. They go all over and provide training to voc rehab agencies, to schools, to hospitals on how to do a similar thing in your communities. It needs to be a partnership entity that's with a local hospital that identifies the schools in the area and the vocational rehabilitation agencies in Nebraska. We have two, so we've partnered together to make this happen. And we've got several communities that have started to make it happen, Grand Island, Kearney, and Norfolk. And Lincoln's a possibility, but that probably won't get going till next year. So that's kind of the overview. Does that answer what you need?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what else to ask.
Okay.
And I probably wasn't paying close enough attention, but I'm wondering, when did you say when this got started?
I didn't say when.
I mean, you know,
exactly.
2 years ago, 10 years ago.
Oh, I went to a speaker about it, and I want to say 4 or 5 years ago. I don't remember for sure. It was a national transition conference, and I gave a presentation about what we do in Nebraska, and there were a lot of people there. It was really an excellent conference, and this was where I first heard about it. And then vocational rehabilitation is doing a majority of the funding. We are paying some funding. So far, we've sent one of our staff and two or three people from Grand Island, from the hospital, I think, and the schools, to a training in Atlanta that was in July. And they've requested that we send a couple more people for training. So that's how we're contributing to the project, the Commission for the Blind. Financially. Then also in each area, the rehabilitation counselor is on the committee, the local committee, to decide who will we hire for job coaches and what tasks can the people do. Our involvement is really going to be important because most of the rest of the people, the schools, the hospital people, they may think outside the box for physically handicapped people, but that most folks really don't know how a blind person could do whatever. And so it's going to really be important for our staff to be doing that same kind of creative thinking about how could a blind person do this and that task. So our staff are involved and hopefully developing some jobs. It'll be for transition age clients. That's why the schools are involved. But you know, it's really, I think, a good opportunity for again a population that we talked about earlier that, you know, maybe has more complicated barriers to their situation. So that's kind of a major thing we're focusing on this year, and that's why I decided to include it in the goals.
I think that's a good idea. It just sounds exciting to me.
It does. I
really think that's terrific.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board about Pearl's goals? They will obviously be put up on the web, and they're very worthwhile to look through and very ambitious goals. And we know from before that the commission is able to do it, and Pearl is definitely leading the way. So, any other questions? Okay, the next item says lunch on our own, and I think we already did that. And so we're not going to do that again.
We're not going to eat again.
Unfortunately,
no,
Jim. I know, you're a hungry guy, I know that.
Well, anyway.
Okay, the next thing is... The agenda item has to do with we having to do the staff surveys over again, and thank you for the staff to be so willing and understanding and pointing out that some of their comments didn't get on the list, and wanting and able to do it in whatever ways possible. We had people redoing the survey. We had people sending comments through the virtual suggestion box, which is only available to the staff, and it's on the website, and they can do it, and it's anonymous, and then of course you can, you know, reach any of the board through our email, or you can send it to me as chairman, which in a little bit is not going to be my job anymore. Yeah, let's all cry now, shall we? Anyway, so
we can hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
Yeah.
Guys.
At any rate, now we are going on to discuss some of the comments that we got from the survey, and it's going to require that some of us have
good memories or something that stuck out that we they really feel. Unfortunately, I didn't get accomplished getting him here, and so I apologize for that. But I think my memory may be very faulty, but I do not remember anything that was an outstanding something that would be, not that they weren't all important, they were all important, but nothing that was like, you know, this is happening and it's going to all fall apart if we don't do something immediately about it. So, and all suggestions from the staff are always very, very welcome, because that gives us ideas of things that need to be corrected, need to be redone, needed to be expanded on, or new ideas that, to me, are always exciting. So we have those that we need our memories about, and then we have two virtual suggestions, and then we have a suggestion from John Schmidt. So, you guys remember any of those?
I'd like to start. It isn't that we're being callous. Sometimes we've been accused of that. I just forgot my packmate, and I am sorry that I don't have those results. But one of them that I remember, and correct me, maybe it was already brought up, and or maybe it was the new one that I saw, but was the comment about clients who should have their spouses or whatever fill out their applications
that,
and things.
That's from the suggestion box. I have that.
Oh, okay, you've got that. So mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. Any other memories of...
Wasn't there a comment that come in that I think it was on the, might even been on the second batch too, that there was a staff person that expressed concern about hand-holding.
Yeah.
And why aren't the clients?
I think the example was resumes.
Was it resume? Mm-hmm. It might have been resumes. I thought it had something to do with transportation.
Yeah, take him to doctor's appointments,
right.
And
oh,
that
right.
kind
yeah,
of thing.
Right.
You know, on that particular comment, and Pearl certainly can mm-hmm. say anything she would like, but I'm wondering if it's an ongoing thing that it really is a problem, or if it's one of those cases where maybe somebody got so ill that they, you know, it's not... Any person, sighted, blind, whatever, would help somebody that, you know, maybe needed to get to the doctor right away or that kind of thing. So, you don't know the circumstances, but I tend to agree with people that part of what the commission does is to teach you to be self-reliant and find these hurdles and make them over, you know, get over them somehow, you know, find a way to get it accomplished. And as well, we all know that blind people have to find alternative methods to do things sometimes too. So I would comment from you, Pearl.
Okay, sure. With that one, it was with the transportation issue. Let me talk about that first, and then remind me to go to resumes so I don't forget. It was specific to use of drivers in the center, and I did explore that with the center director. We talked about weighing. Sometimes it's a Well, first of all, they definitely don't just give the transportation to anybody that wants it any time they want it. Mm-hmm. But they do try to base things on if somebody's newer in their training period and so, you know, doesn't have as good of skills yet, then we might be more likely to provide the transportation. Also, sometimes there's the time element that if a person is by the time they well cabs in Lincoln are a challenge. That you can wait 2 hours, you can end up never. I mean, the cab could be 2 hours late and or not show up. So you know that, and you have to balance. Okay, this is their training day. These are the things they need to accomplish. Are we going to learn more on this day by working through all the transportation issues, or is it going to be better in this case to have a driver come and give the person the ride over to the doctor's appointment? And they really do look at all those issues, and they try to make sure that they make the decisions that will enable people to get what's done that needs to be done, but also to be as close to a normal, you know, if you're out in a job, and that's what we try to help clients of the center understand, this is your job. As long as you're here, you know, treat it like a job, have a work ethic, be serious about getting here on time, and so on. And with a job, obviously, you're not going to have help getting to a doctor, but you also need to figure out how to miss as little work as possible. So we're teaching those things throughout the time at the center. And so it isn't really an easy black and white, we never give a ride or we always do this or that, because situations vary. But I can tell you that the staff are cognizant of the issue, and we try to make sure that we don't just do things that aren't going to help the person learn what they need to learn and accomplish what they need to accomplish.
Right. I would just like to say I'm glad you said that, because you got to be careful what you pray for, you might get it. And, you know, we can't, if we start to legislate this and make this real black and white, it's going to be inconvenient. I mean, things like doctor's appointments, I mean, in the sighted world too, I mean, my wife has to take time off to take, you know, my daughter. We're not going to make her go ride on a bus to the doctor. And I don't know. I just think that there's some things that, you know, if I need to go to the doctor, I'm not going to wait in the hot sun for a bus for a half an hour. And, you know, there's probably a reason I have to go to the doctor. So, boy, I just really would feel, I'm not discounting what the person said, but boy, I feel really uncomfortable going into this very far, as long as people are, you know, using discretion.
Yeah, let me go a little further with my comments too. Whenever we get comments like this, whether it's on the survey, through the suggestion box, or something that comes either to me or to the board, I really do, you know, we address it. I look at the picture and try to get an assessment. I talk with the staff involved, and I do sometimes some other steps. And, for example, with this one, Kathy is the one who does the work at the end of each month to pull together all of the car logs that the drivers have been, you know, putting together. So first I checked with her about how detailed are the car logs filled out for the trips, and we found out we needed a little more information, so we sent out word to all the offices, give us more specifics on, you know, are you just taking a counselor someplace, or are you driving for a staff member or a commissioner, you know, what is the trip, not just you went to wherever. So she's been looking at that. To my knowledge, there hasn't really been anything that has come from that that's a big, oh no, we need to. Can you speak to that at all, Kathy?
Not that I have noticed. If there's not nothing that stick out as,
okay, so
unusual or,
yeah.
So the car logs, it's the print log that's kept in the vehicles.
Right.
Talking about. And then when you go over that, you're just looking at them, or do you tabulate anything with that?
To tabulate the miles. How many miles, the purpose of to even have those is to tabulate how many miles each car got in it per month. So we can try to keep all the vehicles as low mileage as possible.
Right. But you don't, like, write down how many miles were for staff and how many were for...
No.
That. Okay.
But after this concern was raised, I asked her to watch for, you know, especially the center. Is the center using drivers that we pay and the cars for every little thing, you know, that really maybe should be done a different way? And so although I didn't ask her to keep a spreadsheet for it, I asked her to watch for any patterns or anything, and right. and so there haven't been anything. There hasn't been anything that showed up. Now, also during that time that concern came out, it was a period of a couple of months where there were a lot of new clients start the center, and there were several with some multiple handicaps. So, you know, that looked like there definitely is a tendency to do more for the person early in the training and then phase that out as they get more independent. So that's what we were thinking was, you know, somebody, a lot of times people, you know, even a staff person or someone that you would think is really involved, they see what something looks on the surface. And so I think it's fine to raise a concern. That helps us look at it and
right.
talk through it and make sure. But, you know, you don't necessarily know the whole picture.
It was probably just an isolated incident.
Well, and I really don't want to discount the comments in any ways. Like
right.
I said, when we get them, we look at them, we discuss, we address, we reinforce the idea, make sure you really are doing, you know, this, whatever the case might be. The thing with the resumes was kind of the same time. And so, and there was a employment workshop. The placement center or placement committee planned it. This field staff, a lot of field staff were involved. The center was heavily involved with helping people. There was like a massive effort to get, I don't know how many clients get resumes ready for this workshop to be there. We had a lot of employers coming in, so there was a job fair. It was quite a big deal that was put on. And so more was done on clients' resumes by staff and, you know, with staff working with the clients to do whatever. There was more done than normally. You know, Dan Hill isn't going to sit in his office and write up a resume for Carolyn because she decided she wanted a different job. He'll work with her on tools for the resume. He'll talk to her about it. He'll, you know, I mean, there's different things depending on the person's interests, capabilities, access to technology, whatever the case may be. But with this particular workshop, a real major effort was put, and because of the amount of time, the numbers involved, and so on, and the needing that they all had to be posted to the website, I mean, there was a lot to it, more than just getting your little print resume to take to the local grocer. Yes, more was done. But I think it was perfectly reasonable, given the situation, and like I said, the time frame and the numbers and such. And I really also do trust that the counselors, both in the center and the field, they wouldn't just let it drop there. They would have conversations with their clients about how, you know, next time, or if you're going to continue to apply for jobs, let's make sure you know how to keep that resume current. And what do you do when you go to the next job? For example, you might if you have put in here if you have a line for your job, your employment goal, you better change it every time you apply for a job because, you know, anyway, so there are things a person needs to do to keep them current, and that's where the counselors would discuss with their clients. And, you know, so I really, I think the comment is correct. We need to make sure we don't, you know, just do things for people and spoon feed things that then they won't be able to do themselves. But as long as we're doing the things I just described, I'm comfortable with what we did for that workshop.
If you had five or six bad resumes and just let them to their own demise, then your program loses all sorts of credibility too, and no other, you know, people aren't going to come back, and employers aren't going to come back and take part in that. So, you know, you want to give them those skills. So I see nothing wrong with, you know, the counselors helping.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you explain when you said that the resumes were posted to a website?
I can't remember exactly what the deal was. Does anybody, Dan, were you involved with that? It was the February.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
Or maybe Karen was. Were you there?
Yes.
Okay. There was something about posting the resumes. Can you give us more detail on that?
The only thing that I remember about the resumes is, I ran into bad weather and ended up leaving early, but the resumes were not actually posted, were they? Taken around to different, the booths that were set up and distributed, you know, to the different
To the different businesses or whatever that were there, and then the resumes were set out that way. As far as being posted, like on the internet or somewhere, nah.
Maybe it had to do with maybe CDs were made or something that...
On the interviews, they did... I haven't received it yet, but we were supposed to get... They had mock interviews.
Right.
And we were supposed to get a copy of those... mock interviews, but I never heard of anything about our resumes being posted.
Yeah, and I knew I wasn't remembering the details quite right, but the gathering of them all together in order to do the printing for all the employers, something like that. So yes, thank you for clarifying.
Well, because there are, you can post a resume, there are lots of job placement sites, so I was just wondering if something like that was incorporated or...
They might have. Okay. I don't know for sure.
Okay, is there anything else that people are remembering from those?
There's one I would comment on. There was a concern raised about internships. I believe the comment said clients should never be interns because of confidentiality issues. So what I did at that time is I contacted all the supervisors and said, what do you have you recently, or do you have clients doing internships within the agency? And how do you, what training do you provide? How do you address issues of confidentiality? There were several at the time. Of course, somebody knew that. That's why the concern was raised. And the blindness community is a small community.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about that. But they, in each case, the supervisor very overtly and explicitly discussed with the client issues of confidentiality, issues of professionalism, and those kinds of things. And actually, we do the same thing, with drivers. Drivers could, it's so easy, you're taking somebody one day on, or one place on Wednesday, and somebody else somewhere else on Thursday, and the Thursday guy says, hey, have you seen someone? It's important to maintain professionalism, to keep in mind that confidentiality, and I'm not going to say that I, took Jim over to a doctor's appointment. it's nobody's business. And if somebody wants to be a professional, let's say they're a client, they want an internship so that they can maybe have a job at Health and Human Services one day. That's something you have to learn early on. How do you mix the blend, making sure you really respect people's confidentiality and, yet still you may be seeing all those same people at your local chapter meeting or at events you go to or at the laundromat, but you find ways to make sure you're professional. Mm-hmm. So they all told me that we're working on this. And then, people are people. There's always, even with staff, once in a while you have a concern raised that someone believes they're personal information was released, and then we deal with it in a personnel matter. And it would be the same thing with an internship. If we believed a person was doing a job as an intern for the commission and that they were behaving in some way that wasn't professional, that we would deal with it.
Can I ask, like, what exactly, like, the internships were? I mean, so I know, like, for the wages program, there were, like, some very young interns, and the wages kids were young. So, I mean, was that part of the issue? Was it age, and they knew them? And
yeah, I can't remember exactly when the issue was raised, so who they were thinking of, I don't know. But in the last 6 months, I would say, with wages, also with like both of Lincoln and Omaha offices, I think we've had clients do some case file work or some different work as interns. And even it's not officially internships, but center clients will often get training, like to answer at the front desk. Just this past week, one of the current center clients has been answering the phones, so being our receptionist. So, you know.
So they're working with someone else. They're not like, you know, teaching skills to somebody else. They're actually working with somebody.
Well, it can be both. Now, we did have, I think it was in wages, I know it was this summer, I'm not sure which, but we had two different clients providing, as an intern, providing training in Braille and training in cane or technology. And I think it was to a wages client. So, yeah, it gets enmeshed, you know, it does, but we really try to emphasize to people the importance of professionalism and respecting the people they work with.
Is there a reason, well, there is a reason, what is the reason of not helping clients find internships or those kinds of opportunities outside of the agency? And then the flip side of that, why don't we ever get interns from other agencies?
I don't believe it's true that we don't try to help people find internships.
But it seems like there's a large amount compared to what you would expect interns in other organizations.
Internally, lately, we've had more interns than ever before, I would say. When our counselors, really statewide, if they're working with clients who could benefit from having an internship to achieve their vocational goal. I believe that our counselors, sometimes it's in terms of college, they're in a college course and they do an internship or a practicum with that. But our staff, you know, work to develop those. My impression is that a lot of employers aren't interested, and also I know I've heard that technology can be a problem, and usually internships are short-term, and if you end up having to spend 3 weeks of a four-week internship figuring out the technology, then it's bad for the client, it's a lot of wasted time for our staff, and it gives a bad message to the employer, who then won't want to hire a blind person because they think technology is a major barrier, which it doesn't need to be, but to get something set up, it can be time-consuming.
I've had it communicated to me that a client recently communicated to me their concern about internships and that they felt it was the agency's way of not paying benefits to hire full-time.
I don't know.
No, I understand that. That's just communicated.
I did want to look to Dan, and can you speak to the issue of internships for your clients out here? Do you ever do it?
I don't recall there having been any internships that we have worked with clients on. We've done OJTs, but you know that's a different issue. Similarly related, I guess, but not the same.
Yeah. Do you think there's a reason that we don't do internships? Excuse me. If you're saying it's true, we don't do that. Mm-hmm. Then you can answer,
yeah.
Why don't we do that?
I don't know that I could have an answer to that. I've never really experienced a situation where an internship would have been an appropriate way to handle it, I guess. And maybe that's because of the types of jobs that folks have been pursuing out here. You know, there's not as much call for internship types of opportunities or placement settings.
My thinking, too, would be that in Omaha or Lincoln, you're going to have more clients and a little better opportunities for them maybe to get down to the center to answer phones or, you know, do some things like that. And I personally find it heartening when I recognize somebody's voice, you know, when I call the Omaha office or something, somebody that's volunteering or, you know, so I think it's actually a good thing that they're doing, you know, interning or whatever you call it.
Because I had done it for the commission also, but it was not because I asked. Like, usually a counselor, somebody, you know, wanted, you know, good blind role models or whatever, seeking out specific reasons, you know, but then I just usually volunteered. I wasn't paid or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, I do understand, like, some instances where, you know, if you need help in Braille or whatever, you're going to want to find somebody that's really fluent in Braille to be able to teach a specific skill. Mm-hmm. But no, I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did anybody remember any other suggestion that we should discuss?
I have a follow-up comment. I'm trying to stop coughing, so I had a lozenge I had to get rid of first. But just so that you know, we do hire on a contractual basis consumers to do things like teach skills in the center when staff are at a workshop. We don't have volunteer consumers do that. And we, right now, one of the things we're doing with the ERA funds is to develop modules for home teaching that we'll be able to give to a home teaching client. They can watch it on their own, whether it's TV or, I think there are going to be DVDs. So they watch it on their television and it's all the specific areas that we do home teaching in, Braille, cooking, cane travel, etc. And we have contracted with some consumers to develop those, you know, scripts, and we've got the professional company that produced our center video. We've got the same man's company that will be developing these modules. So, you know, we definitely do pay consumers to do work that needs to be done. We don't, and I don't know, I know sometimes we ask for volunteers, and we certainly appreciate when we have them, sometimes for role modeling, or maybe we're desperate for a phone answer someday for something, and we call our friend and say, "Can you come over here?" I don't know why why we had to do that. But, you know, I just want you to know we definitely do contract with people to provide a variety of things that need to be done.
I think it's a good opportunity for clients, you know, to have that in sort of a safe environment. I mean, it's very blind people friendly. The honest truth is, working at the agency as a blind person and working out at a different place as a blind person are very different.
Right.
And I think that's a large component to the job experience. And I hope that we're not glazing over that. Because learning how to advocate for yourself is a really important skill.
Right.
And I wonder if that's happening in an internship there because it's so easy.
Yeah, and I would agree with everything you said. But I also know working toward employment is usually, there are steps you go through.
Right.
And so for some people, a reasonable step, and maybe even a necessary step, might be that safer environment at the commission. Mm-hmm. But I can guarantee you that then we don't have staff that say, okay, you've done this for 2 afternoons, go get yourself a job. You know, so it's steps. And if they need on-the-job training or an internship elsewhere or whatever, then that the counselor would be working with them toward that. And even in the center, we have vocational seminars now that are in addition to the philosophy seminars. We have steps that people have to do, volunteer work in the community, and then some job experience. I mean, there's so much involved. It's not just an easy, you know, you take this class and then you go get a job. So right. I really believe that both in the center and in the field, that's what our folks do. That's part of the whole process. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a question then later or earlier, too, about, I think, why don't we have internships from elsewhere at the
yes.
commission? And sometimes that gets into the volunteer work, too. People are, they want to volunteer to help the blind. In some cases, we've had, and I mean a few cases over many, many years, where someone wants to do an internship with our agency. And, you know, if you come in and don't know anything about blindness and you think you're there to help people and you're going to be a social worker one day or something, it's pretty hard to just quickly get, you know, how it is that the way we do business is different than just, quote, helping blind people. Now, one real successful one that was, I lose track of time, but in the past year and a half maybe, that we had a graduate student who was a mental health counselor he came every week and did a sort of a seminar or a discussion, I don't know what to call it, with the clients, and then he also did a session with staff, and of course we talked to him a lot about, you know, how, what our philosophy is, how we do business, and etc. It's very common for mental health students and professionals to, quote, study the blind, and, you know, they come from a very different place than, so, you know, it's right. It gets involved. But I think he came for, was it about 6 weeks?
I thought it was a semester.
A semester. Okay, I don't remember, you know, clearly enough. But it ended up being really a very positive thing, and it worked out well. But we made sure, you know, that it would. Mm-hmm. He encouraged other students that were then in his same area to do something similar so that we could keep it ongoing, and no one has. Mm-hmm. But so that's just one example that did work well. But that does, I mean, we don't go solicit to all the universities, send us your students because of the issues about, you know, even when we hire staff and they go through 600 hours of training. That's not,
right.
That's for some very good reasons. So anyway, there you go.
I have a request.
Okay, Jim.
Can we take 5 minutes? Do you mind?
Or a break?
Yeah, I need to make myself feel better.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we'll take a break here for 5 minutes, and then we're going to come back and discuss the virtual suggestion box.
Thank you.
Submissions. So 5 minutes, everybody. He's ready, so we're going to go back into session now. I think we're going to, we're still under the same agenda item, but I think we're going to move on to, we got a couple of submissions from the virtual suggestion box, and I think we'll do those first.
Okay.
me, I will try to get this as repeated as correctly as possible, but I make no
changes.
I think we need to get support staff back to doing support work for our offices. Lincoln support staff has many other responsibilities than the field offices. Okay, now this, I'm not, that's a really long sentence. But our support staff in the field offices has been given to not make, to make calls for counselors or do no paperwork. They are to be freed up to work with clients. And I think the they means the counselors, but I'm not clear on that. While the counselors are told to do the support work. This makes no sense. It doesn't make sense to me either.
I remember reading this.
Yes. I vaguely do know, yeah.
And according to several counselors, it appears that the support staff now has more time to devote to their social lives. Email, internet surfing. Hmm. And when we ask the support person to do support work, we're met with suggestions on how we could accomplish the task ourselves. The current work situation does not contribute to team building. And then that's that, the first one.
Okay. My first question, I was unclear on who exactly is support staff.
It's the secretarial.
Okay.
The folk we have, technicians.
Right.
Yeah, primarily it's who you would think of as secretary or receptionist or those things.
Okay, that's what I thought. I didn't want to make sure I was assuming the wrong thing.
Right. I lose track of time again. But at some point in the past, we upgraded the secretarial positions, partly so that the folks would get paid better, but partly so that they could do some of the, you might say, para work that you'd have in a school. We call them voc rehab technicians. They can do intake. Actually, the support staff always, they were often the first person, the first point of contact. And if somebody calls and is upset about their blindness, they've either just fallen or they just came home from the doctor that says, I can't help you, or, you know, they've had some event that has caused them to call us. We don't want our staff to just say, I'll have someone call you back on Wednesday. The person's emotional. You need to be able to address the needs. And so we wanted our secretaries to have some training, to have a better, they were doing it, they do this kind of work, they always have. And so that was part of the upgrading. And then also, sometimes with the group programs in the areas, the voc rehab techs will provide transportation to clients or will help facilitate a luncheon that where the people make the meal, and they're involved. They're not just filing and so on. Yes, we have been making efforts to give the voc rehab techs more opportunity for working directly with clients, and we see that as a good thing. This also came about the time of that with the new e-force, especially initially till everybody knows how to use it, the counseling staff are doing more of what might be seen as secretarial to get things entered into eForce, to do their case notes in eForce, and so on. I don't know if that's part of where this comment was coming from. So, most of the staff are very good with, they are positive about eForce, they're using it effectively, they're you know, seeing it as a way for better access, but there are some who are feeling like it's taking away from their level of, I don't know, their counseling work, I guess. I don't know if that's where this came from. I did, after this comment, come again, talk with supervisors. It doesn't make sense to have Voc Rehab techs out working with clients and have counselors sitting in their office typing things in. I agree. That doesn't make sense. And so I talked with supervisors about, let's make sure that isn't what we're doing with bringing eForce into our system. And we talked about, you know, some of these things. And we've also talked periodically, the issue about support staff having more time to do their just
talking to the
friends
and
mm-hmm. Yeah, number one, the state equipment is not for personal use. I don't care if you have nothing to do in your job, you don't use your personal computer for your personal emails, your personal surfing of the web. That is not permitted. And if somebody is doing that, they need to be disciplined. So we reinforce to staff, remember this is the case. And so can I say nobody ever does that? No, I can't. But I really think that we have a pretty good handle on it. We, you know, our staff really, I think, respect the importance of their job and they want to keep their jobs. So, you know, I really don't think it's abused much at all. People are people. I'm sure it happens some, but not very much. And so, and also the staff, the Voc Rehab techs in the outlying offices have been given jobs from our business office because there is less to do in some of the offices with just one or two counselors versus Omaha and Lincoln. So we have, Josie does some work for Bill every month that's related to the reports that you get. She does a great job with that. Connie Carlo in Norfolk does a lot of support for work that Dave has in the personnel issues. Sherry has done some support, and I forget exactly what, but all of them, and we know if we have a job, a mailing that needs to go out, or something from the central office, from administration mainly, and, you know, we don't just take it downstairs to the Lincoln front desk. We think about, well, should we send this to Sherry? Should we send it to Becky? You know, and we do. I mean, a lot of things electronic, it doesn't matter that they're 400 miles away, so we do that a lot. So I guess those are my comments on that.
Okay. Do any more questions or concerns about that comment? I think Pearl's answered it, you know, very, very thoroughly. But if there are other questions.
Is there a way to monitor what people do on their state computers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was a quick answer.
Yeah.
Just curious. Maybe mm-hmm. mention that to people. Maybe that would deter
We have. Them. Yeah, we have.
And the question is, do you do it?
We have done it. Yes.
It's not. It's impossible to totally police. I mean, we got.
Well, yeah.
I can watch the teachers who are, you know, watching the NCAA what? Basketball. And yeah, I'm sorry, it happens, and it's not right. And
what happens at the state level too?
You give them the warning, and you know, yeah, they can be monitored, and if you catch them, you catch them. But I mean, I'm sure that it's a very few people that do it.
Well, and they know, I think most people are fully aware mm-hmm. that it's a disciplinary act. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you're asking to lose your job if you blatantly
oh, yeah.
do things mm-hmm. that you know are illegal.
Yeah.
So,
Illegal, maybe immoral, but...
No, illegal.
Oh,
illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Because state government, you know,
exactly.
it's,
mm-hmm.
it is a state regulation.
Oh, okay.
You cannot mm-hmm. use state equipment for things that are just personal. And we've dealt with, you know, if a counselor wants a driver to just pull into the quick stop on the way home so they can get a six-pack... you can't do that. That's illegal. And so,
no,
you know, and we try to communicate to drivers as well that they really, you know, they need to be, they can say no to, they don't
right.
have to mm-hmm. do whatever the,
so,
so,
and
so
and
things
the,
like
the
that.
The driver would be, as, would get a discipline as much as the
they probably get, for driver probably get fired.
Too, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the situation.
Maybe it would just terminate the driver because they're not being the responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be.
So, Daryl, there goes your shotgun idea for the rattlesnakes.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we address stuff like this all the time. It's just a... It's, it happens, and so we address it.
So,
open
does that mean...
Public comment?
Hang on, I got a question.
No, in a little while.
Does that mean, and this is sort of unrelated, but yes it is, does that mean like, you know, like if my daughter falls at school and I did email my wife real quick that I need to take her to the doctor, I can't do that?
Well, you know, there's a certain, technically, no, you can't do that.
I didn't.
But you
so.
Could okay. pick up your phone that's sitting on the desk and call. If
okay.
you wanted to get real technical, the phone is state equipment too. But, you know, so
it's
there's a reasonableness and there's a,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's blatant,
you know.
And there's reasonable. Yeah.
But okay.
So,
yeah, I thought so. I was just thinking.
Yeah. You shouldn't be spending hours on your office computer
right.
exploring something that isn't work-related.
Doing your shopping at Amazon.
Right. Don't be, you know, so things like that.
Just don't use a state credit card.
But we really do reinforce things like that and talk about things
teachers
like that.
Okay. Any more comments before we move on? Okay, good.
I think move on.
Okay, this is the next comment. I should have put an additional comment on the survey. I wanted to say that I think a priority for our agency should be to fund a person to work with counselors on work incentive issues as they relate to SSI and SSDI. Larry Roos has an especial interest in this, as does Kathy Brown. This is from John Schmidt. Larry has worked with me on several occasions and does an outstanding job with it. I know it takes away from his other duties when he does this, but he has a good grasp of these issues, which can be very complex, and they are indeed complex. I believe that Voc Rehab has an individual specifically obligated to do this. Funding for a position like this may be a part-time position, but a very important one. And thank you for all you and the board do for our agency. And this was written to Nancy. And that's that one. And that's from John Schmidt.
And he did incidentally say that it was okay, because I checked with him, and when he was mentioning Larry Roos in there and everything, and I thought, you know, maybe I better check, because, you know, that really wasn't too anonymous, I don't think. So I thought...
and that wasn't from the suggestion box.
No,
either.
It was
that
not.
Was
if it would have been from the suggestion box, I wouldn't have known anybody to contact. You know, you might have had your suspicions that, you know, it was one office or the other, but you wouldn't have known exactly who it was, but in this case, I contacted him. He said, no, it just makes sense for you to go ahead and do that. So that's what we did. So,
all right.
And I have been to trainings on those force incentive things, and complicated doesn't even scratch the surface.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Actually, even before the comment came, we already had been looking at that and working on that. Larry Roos has developed a plan for getting the training that he needs, and there's this one set of classes or training that you have to kind of be in, you know, you have to get admittance, you have to be accepted by the instructor, and he's been told that she does consider him in the next class, and so that is definitely in the works. We think it's a great idea, and I did talk with him recently about how is the work he's doing so far, is it impinging too much time from his caseload, and he feels like so far it's very manageable, and he's motivated to do it, so I think it's a very good solution.
That was one of those wonderful things that the staff came up with, too, and probably about the same time, but it's a very critical thing, because that, as Kathy has explained, it's very difficult, and I don't want to even try to do that.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. And those workforce, those incentives, I mean, it can be the difference between somebody deciding to be employed and somebody, you know, no,
right,
I can't do
sure.
that. It doesn't, I think healthcare is the big thing, you know,
right,
if
sure.
you make too much money, you go over that thing, you lose your Medicaid, and then
right.
if you don't have a job that can cover all those expenses, mm-hmm. and if you're just starting out, you're not going to have one, and it's stuck
right.
between
yeah,
a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation. Is there anything else we need to ask Pearl about that? We have one more?
One more.
Okay.
This is the one that's going to be more lengthy discussions, I
think. We want to get our room back. I'm only kidding.
No, it won't be that long. Okay. Okay, I'm not sure if my information was left out from the staff survey on purpose or if it wasn't saved. And I guess I'm just going to interrupt. We did not on purpose leave anybody's anything out. Mm-hmm. It has just been frustrating after frustration. I mean, it's just been...
Yeah, trying twice at it and still coming up.
It's been a very trying ordeal. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that it's going to get better, but I can't promise that. So we'll just keep... I don't know. I wish there was an easy answer and that it would all be okay and we could all live happily ever after.
You know what? But as Kathy said, we kind of tried to rush it, and maybe that was, you know, too fast because, you know, it really, you know, we decided, can it be done for this year? And, you know, maybe we shouldn't have done that. Maybe we should have held off a year.
Right.
I don't know. But and we knew it wasn't going to be perfect the first year, but we just didn't think it was going to be this much of a problem.
Right. So I guess we'll just keep on slugging through and hope it gets better real soon. I don't know.
Yeah, but as Julie said, we would never do that. It doesn't matter what the comment is. It will be put before Pearl so she can help us deal with it, and because she deals with the staff and stuff, and so it just never will be done. At least while I'm still on the board, it will not be done. And I trust you guys.
Okay. The next part of this comment?
Yes.
Okay, just in case it wasn't saved properly, I would like to mention it here. I feel that current clients should not be allowed to volunteer or complete internships within the agency. And we covered that, I guess.
Yeah.
This is a breach of confidentiality, which I don't agree with that. They have access to client information passed on by staff. It's not ethical, and it breaks the confidentiality of the other clients. Okay, and that's sort of that segment, and I think we've already adequately addressed that.
Yes. I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that the VR techs should be able to go out. Should be able to go out into the field and work more with clients on skills that they have the ability to teach. This would free up some of the stress on the counselors, who could focus more. Who could focus on the more important situations? That kind of bothers me. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's sort of that segment, and then there's another.
Do we want to thing look after at? That. Yeah, what should we look at this part?
I think we should take it part by part so that we do a topic at a time.
They're getting a paycheck. Tell them to suck it up. Seriously. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just, I don't understand what's more important thing. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, the part in there that really got to me was the so counselors can focus on things that are more important.
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm newly blind and I need to figure out how to make some hamburger helper, that's important to me.
Right.
I would like to eat. So I'm not important to whom, I guess, maybe, is a question. But I don't know. VR techs working out in client homes?
Well, it's kind of interesting because it's almost the opposite of the comment we talked about a minute ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And we need a balance. We need to make sure people are using their skill sets and that people that the voc rehab techs can do basic stuff with clients and can do what they can do. Counselors can do the more in-depth teaching as well as counseling and the, you know, job search types of things and looking at colleges with clients and so on. So it just needs to be a mix of things.
Thank you. I guess
somebody's having a fight out there. We should go out there and referee.
My thinking, just my immediate reaction, is that I don't think having the VR techs work with clients in their homes is really the scope of their position. I think that seems to be a counselor.
In most cases, no.
I just don't.
Sometimes we've talked about, like, if you can spend a fair amount of time talking a person through reading the application for the talking book services and Newsline, radio talking book, and local transportation services and so on. That can be a time-consuming thing, which can sometimes be done by a VR tech.
Right.
So I don't think, again, it's not an either-or in the home. Never in the home or only on the phone.
Well,
so
I guess I was getting from this, though, they were talking about teaching skills.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the counselor job responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the most part, I don't believe that we have the VR techs doing any actual teaching unless it would be really basic kinds of things. But for the most part, I don't believe that happens.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it comes little things, you know, it comes up just in the course of them working with clients, and I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. But to, like, make specific appointments and for the sole purpose of teaching a skill, I don't know.
Yeah, we, for the most part, wouldn't do that.
Right, no. And I agree. Okay, ready to move on?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, now here's the one that really, I'll read it first. Okay. Clients with spouses, specifically sighted spouses, should rely on that source of assistance for filling out job applications. It is not cost effective to drive 20 miles to pick up a client, to bring them in the office, to fill out to fill out a paper online application for 15 minutes and then take them back another 20 miles to home when their sighted spouse could assist them with this task. The client should be taking the initiative to accomplishing this easy task without the commission's assistance. That is a waste of time and money for all involved. That is a waste of time and money for all involved. No, is my summary answer.
Well, you know, my thinking of that is, it is a whole bunch of things there, but my thinking might be this. If it's a newly blind person that's at home and their husband or wife is doing everything for them already, because this is a person who is so severely handicapped that they cannot even move around their own home, then it is, even though it is, you know, that kind of thing, and it's maybe just an application for whatever, talking books or whatever it is, maybe it's a very good idea for that person to get to come to an office and to hear, you know, some other ideas and whatever, to get the idea that, gee, maybe I need to go take this training or stuff, and maybe that's the first step to independence for them, even though, maybe that other person can do it, but they're already doing everything, and this blind person is thinking, I can't do anything. I'm just going to be put in, if my husband or wife passes on, I'm going to be put in a nursing home because I can't do anything on my own. So, you know, I see a whole lot of different things there. Sometimes there is a better way, a more efficient way, less more cost effective, more time, you know, not wasted, so on. But is it the best thing for the client? You know, which is the bottom line as far as I'm concerned, is the best thing for the client, getting that client to be independent, going back to work if that's the thing, doing things in their own home if they're a senior citizen, whatever the case may be.
I would assume that in general, you know, counselors bring clients in as part of their, you know, growth and their training. You know, right. Perhaps that application process was necessary for that client to, you know, grow. Plus, you know, coming into the office, you know, you would meet other blind people. In general, no, you shouldn't just take people when somebody else could maybe help them. But there's this idea that since somebody has a spouse, I get that all the time at our local chapter meetings, well, Heather will drive for you. Sighted people don't have their wives fill out their applications for them, or, you know, their spouses or help them. You know, there's probably a need, and I'm sure, you know, if these issues come up, Dr. Van Sant addresses them.
One thing from that comment, it was probably not a newly blind person, because there was something about bringing them in to fill out a job application.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly agree with the points that you're making, and I also, from my own field work and my confidence in our staff, they want their clients to be able to apply for jobs themselves down the road. They're busy. They don't just bring people in to fill out a form.
No.
There's always a counseling process that is part of that whole thing. And to say either that a person should be able, their sighted spouse should be able to do it, and or that it's easy, they should just do it online. Well, not everybody has that capacity. And, you know, I mean, and I think that our staff, when they have a client brought in to work on something, and actually most of the time our staff go to the clients, but mm-hmm. but it's always with the
I may be helping you fill out the form, but it's also, I would be doing it in a way that helps you know what kinds of things employers ask for and know, develop some strategies to do it yourself in the, you know, the future. So I don't know if that was, if there was some specific situation that the person believes they witnessed. But in general, I would say that's not how, that's not what's done.
The thing that really bothers me about this is that there is a staff person that believes that it's okay for the sighted spouse to handle that sort of affair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. That was my thought.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, because and, if the sighted spouse fills it out, does not ask their spouse, you know, well, how would you answer this question?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they just go ahead and fill it out their way, I would not. I've had my sisters help me fill out applications for things, but they wouldn't think of filling it out for me as far as what, how to answer the questions, because if they did, it could be quite different than what I had in mind to put there.
Right. And what I hear Julie expressing is concern that anybody working for the commission would have such a belief, such a bad philosophy to think that one should just assume that the sighted spouse should and or could or would do this for their spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a very, very negative belief.
It's disturbing.
It,
really
it is disturbing.
I believe that we have someone on staff.
Eastern Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. It might be central, too. You never know.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that you could bring into that scenario.
You know, if you heard that from the public, then that's one thing. But that one of our staff thinks that's very, very sad.
Does the staff, as an ongoing part of training, have an opportunity to meet and discuss philosophical issues, similar to what the clients do in the center? I mean, does the staff have an opportunity just to sit down and talk about stuff?
Yes. The administrative team, some of them kicking and shouting, but we have monthly meetings, and we spend the first hour in philosophy, and we rotate who brings the topic, just like in the center.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always have philosophy discussion in administrative team. Field offices, I don't know that every office meeting has that. At district meetings, which are once a year, we always have some aspects of it that relate to philosophy. And of course, we send people to training for building good philosophy and good understanding about blindness. I guess one of my concerns with the whole anonymous process, people wanted it, and so, you know, we gave it to them. But when it's anonymous, you don't get to really get to the depth of where's your, you know, what are you thinking about here? And
that could be a key part that they're leaving out of this whole scenario, thinking they're talking about one thing, and yet the perception is when we read it, it's totally something else.
I was just going to bring that up, and now that Pearl said it, I will just have the guts to say it because I'm outspoken. I feel like we've wasted 60 minutes of time when some of these things could have been talked through supervisors, talked face-to-face with Pearl. I mean, in 30 years of teaching, you know, I go back and say, well, have you talked to that person? You know, before you send this stuff to the suggestion box, you know, maybe this is, we've done ourselves a real disservice. I mean, we've got the public sitting here for over an hour. It kind of gripes me that we had to listen to some things that are somewhat unfounded or misunderstood, maybe not spiteful, but obviously not understood.
I think misunderstood is a key word.
And that's where I made that comment about they're getting a paycheck. I probably should have said that, but, you know.
You're on record, yeah.
Well, I think, okay, from working at the agency and knowing the sort of, you know, positively, what do I want to say, positive towards blindness environment that is, I don't know that if I had ever even believed that sighted spouses should be doing that sort of thing, I don't think I would have had guts enough to say it. I can't imagine making that sort of comment in a public, yes, this is me, and I'm saying, I mean, I just, so I guess in that way, I'm glad we have the suggestion box and that they did say it, because, you know, now we need to look at ways of addressing it.
I mean, you know, maybe I'm getting something more out of this than either, but you go back to the very top of the comment, and it is, I don't know if my comment was, you know, set aside or whatever because it wasn't there. You know, it almost seems to me like this person is, has a negative attitude and needs to have some reinforcement. You know, we don't know the person, but to automatically think somebody would do...
He sounded angry right from the beginning.
Yeah, really, and I know we have very good staff, and if this is a good person and they're having a hard time for whatever reason, you know, it would be good to know so we could... He or she could be talked to with, you know, some kind of philosophy thing like you've done already. And
now,
kind of
this one I didn't respond in this way, but sometimes I send emails to all staff based on either something that was done or said, and for example, well, just the beginning of this one, the expression that maybe theirs might have been dropped off because it wasn't popular, I did send a message to all staff reminding them, whether we agree with every comment or not doesn't matter, we value your input, we do.
This
you know,
is
just
true.
And actually, I had said it before.
Yeah.
Nancy had said it before, but I reinforced it. So there are some times when something occurs, and I send an email to all staff. If there was a situation where somebody was in a vehicle and wasn't strapped in, fell off a seat. Everybody recently got an email saying, people, make sure your people are buckled in. So they hear from me, believe me. But this might be one where I could do a message to all staff and basically a little philosophy lesson saying a portion of one of the comments had to do with sighted staff or blah blah, you know, restating, and just reinforcing people think about what that means, and give a little lecture, and then people can choose to read it or not. I certainly do that when something comes to my attention, but I hadn't done it with that piece, so maybe
you can do it.
I think that's a place to start, but.
I know I would feel really bad if my counselor said, oh, just have your husband do it.
Right.
You would feel not even worthy of getting help.
That happened a number of years ago when, I won't mention the individual's name, when I was in the Omaha office doing Dan, if you started it or who started it back then, what was then known as a client coffee. And where they bring in the clients on a Tuesday afternoon and sitting around drinking coffee or tea or whatever it was, and philosophy session and that, and one of the counselors actually had balls enough to say in these words, you are nothing unless you come to us and we rebuild you. Those are his exact words.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to thought that was nope. If you are losing your sight, that's not what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is still working for the agency too.
Oh.
Well, hopefully the philosophy changed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
We certainly do our best to make sure people have a philosophy that's not counterproductive, that's really going to help people set goals and achieve their goals. So,
I mean,
I agree. Counselors aren't always going to say the right thing. I mean,
well, maybe it's a choice of words.
You know, it's a choice of words, or it's just a stupid thing to say. But this sighted spouse thing really profoundly disturbs me. It doesn't seem like it was just a bad choice of words or the wrong time, or it seems like a really skewed. Mm-hmm. It's not the agency's fault.
That is not. Nobody on staff should believe that. Mm-hmm.
And may I just say an example? Many years ago, Lexi was just maybe one, or I don't remember, but I was frantic because I knew I had to start learning the new computer stuff, you know, JAWS and stuff that came out. And, you know, I got in touch with Connie Daly, and, you know, she came down to Valparaiso, drove 28 miles, picked me up, and took me into the agency to look at different programs and things, because if she hadn't done that, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Right.
And she didn't say, well, have Heather, you know, throw your kid in the car seat and come up here to Lincoln, and she can go shopping and you can learn the computer. And, you know, she came out and got me and took me in and, you know, took me back home. You know, I really wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that.
I guess I think of an email is a good place to start to kind of get people thinking about these ideas, but I don't know. I think we need something more.
Is it something we need to talk about as commissioners at staff development? You know, when we have the staff meeting, they should follow the channels and, you know, to really voice their concerns and, you know, to try to avoid making just blanket statements.
I have a couple of thoughts. One is, there, you know, within our agency, it would be pretty, you'd have to be really missing the boat to not know that saying something like this comment is politically incorrect. You would know that would not be an acceptable thing to say, which is why we don't hear things like that owned by the whoever said it. But I also think that, I mean, we talk to staff, we hear things that are being said, we hear from clients about staff, and I believe that 99.9% of our staff do not have any such an attitude. That even one person might, that's no good. I'm with you 100%. But to say that maybe we need to do an all-out, massive, statewide something or other.
I don't think so.
I think that gives more power to this person than... You know, I would be very surprised if an actual counselor, you know, somebody really working directly with staff, with the clients, that would have been the person who said this. So I think sometimes the discussion kind of goes back a little bit to what Daryl was saying, but, you know, when there's a comment, we value the comments, we want to hear what people are thinking, but that doesn't mean everything's going to switch to whatever comment was, any more than that we would say, okay, somebody said sighted spouses have to fill out forms, we'll go to that. We consider every comment and we think about the overall approach, but I also don't think we need to start a massive training to make sure nobody thinks.
Well, there's a counselor, though, and if this is indeed a counselor, and
I don't think it's a counselor.
I doubt it.
I hope not.
We don't know.
But we don't know. So there could be a counselor working in the agency, and if that counselor has clients with sighted spouses, are they telling those clients, just have your spouse fill this out? That
Well, that's what I'm trying to say, is that I would be extremely surprised if that were the case. I really would, you know, because we see how staff interact with their clients. I mean, I think it's perfectly reasonable to make a point, whether it's through an email or perhaps reinforced in office discussions, mm-hmm. that's fine. But because one person expressed this sentiment, I really would bet it's not somebody that has direct contact with clients.
And it could be, too, that they had a bad day and just felt what they believed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all kind of scenarios.
And, you know, I still think there's probably a possibility. I know that there, you know, obviously I agree with all of you that this person isn't on the philosophy page that we're all on, but I still go back to the beginning of that little section where the real concern seems to be the time issue. You know, driving 20 minutes, pick up somebody, and have them fill it out for 15 minutes and then driving them 20 minutes home. I think the intent there was the time issue, and I don't think that they particularly were thinking about how they ended that up as much.
Mm-hmm.
It really came across that way, and it really is disturbing to me, too, because, you know, somewhere in the back of that person's mind, that thinking is there.
Well,
but I don't. I think the time issue was probably
the main focus there.
I guess I don't care.
It doesn't. Yeah.
I don't care. I had a bad day. They
mm-hmm.
have
well,
that thinking. So I mean, but I guess that's me. And if you know the rest of you guys are.
I would feel comfortable with just an email chastising.
I think that's a good
Julie,
place to
I start. Agree with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't think mm-hmm. it's that it matters if somebody thinks that.
No,
what,
I don't. Yeah, no, yes. I didn't.
Okay.
I can see where you're saying, you know, having some massive shakedown effort is not the way to go. I can understand.
What do you said that? I want names and numbers.
I mean, I understand that too, but. I don't know
then
that
I
there's
want
a
job.
I don't know that there's any good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we start with an email?
The big answer I would say overall is just the ongoing, the importance of training, the importance mm-hmm. of keeping, making sure people do keep motivated mm-hmm. and understanding why we do things the way we do and all of that sort of thing.
I think that's one of the reasons it is so important, although, you know, I think we had a comment a while back saying that, you know, the new staff going through the 600 hours of sleep shade training and all the different things that they do to learn what it, you know, kind of is like to be a blind person, learning the philosophy, learning. I think that really underlines the importance of doing that with the new staff because, you know, so you know, the philosophy thing has a chance to start growing from that point on. So
okay.
I really think, you know, that really underlines how really important that is and that it should not, I know it costs money, but it should not be taken away. It should be continued.
That's right.
Definitely.
You know, another thing that could happen, which is the way I deal with a number of things that come up, is discuss in supervisors' meeting. Because they're closer to,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I believe that I have a good sense of what staff do and believe, mm-hmm. but they would have even closer feel for it. And so bring the discussion to them and, you know, find out if they have thoughts about ways that we can make sure that we aren't giving mm-hmm. the wrong messages to people. And that, I think that makes a lot of sense, and I will definitely do that.
All right. And I think if you take this out, you know, internally, you know, like you're saying, because let's face it, I mean, I teach with 130 teachers in my Omaha school, and I bet you I could count 10 people who would have written something like this. So you probably have some idea of some people who could write like this, so you can get back to the supervisors, and, you know, you guys can deal with this, and, you know, via email or in your own way or however, and I, you know, I trust that it'll get done without any us, you know,
I agree.
Being really...
I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't want whoever wrote this to feel cornered.
No.
And like, you know, convert or else, you know.
No, no.
I don't want that
Judaism. To teach
either. But...
No,
but I guess I do want convert or else. I don't know.
No, but I think what I would like is for them to more, a better sense of what the philosophy is and why this really is, you know, what they stated there is not a good idea. You know, that there are a lot of underlying factors that come into play there.
Right.
And
I think
we have, I think we're going around the mulberry bush.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that we need to move on, and that was the last of the And so, you know, I know why we were doing around the mulberry bush there. You know, we're avoiding the election here.
Yes,
coming
no,
up.
We're not. Filibuster. No,
and so we are now moving to the election of the board officers. And so, since I think we'll start with the chairman, which is the... I shouldn't say the most important because it isn't the most important. The other positions are equally important, but we need to get a chairman in place. So I will throw the floor open for nominations.
I nominate Julie Johnson.
I second.
Great.
You know, but I have to ask Julie, would you accept the position?
She's thinking.
Go ahead and say yes.
How you want to do it?
I don't know.
You will make
you
a good chairperson.
You can't go back on your word. Oh, just kidding. Sorry.
I'm getting the money out right now.
Okay, we're still in public.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, come on. I know it's a tough decision, and you know what? A couple of years ago, I felt this very same way. It's a big responsibility. However, dealing with people like Kathy Stevens and Pearl Van Zandt and
I thought you were gonna say
Bill
me.
Brown.
I thought you were going to say me.
No, yeah. I shouldn't say that statement. my mouth works sometimes faster than my brain does. I don't know. At any rate, you know, there are good people that have information. I found myself, you know, sometimes in a general sort of way, asking questions of a former chairman, asking questions of, you know, several people sometimes to come up with answers. And it really isn't, gee, if I can do it, Julie, you certainly can.
So it's a lot of help for the job, let me put
yourself.
It that way.
Well, plus you
yeah, you're not doing it by yourself. If you have questions or whatever, I would be, I don't know that I'd have answers, but if you want to ask questions of me, I'd be very happy to.
Plus you have a vice chair and all that, too.
Exactly,
so.
You have a vice chair, and as I stated, Kathy Stephen and Pearl are very, very good sources of information on how to do things.
Okay.
We have to go home sometimes.
Accept the nomination.
I move nominations closed.
Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations?
I move they close and Julie be crowned. Elected the
Julie
chair by
acclamation is the word.
Yes.
By acclamation. Okay, I have to. Okay, we need to do roll call instead of proper thing, but that's
by
okay.
Isn't it?
That was the proper thing to say. So we'll start down here. Daryl?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Julie?
I'll abstain.
Okay. Jim?
You bet.
And I concur, so you would be, I can't say anonymously, but you are elected chairman of the board. Congratulations. You're going to do a great job.
Thanks.
If you don't, we'll let you know about it.
Okay, so now we need a vice chairman. A vice chairman? Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, nominations?
I nominate Jim. You're up.
Okay, Jim, I need a second first.
I'll second that.
Okay, will you accept the nomination, Jim?
I won't even have to think about it. I'll do it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we, other nominations, and the nominations will cease. Okay, we'll start down here. No, I'll start with Daryl again. Daryl?
Yes.
Carol?
No.
No. Julie?
Yes.
Jim?
I am going to vote for myself, yes.
Okay, that's fine. And we have a vote of 3-1, and so you are elected. Congratulations. You'll do a good job, Jim.
I appreciate that.
Is it vote 3-1?
Nancy.
Carol, no, Carol was a no vote.
Nancy avoided voting very slickly.
I have a point of question. Am I allowed to vote?
Yes.
In this situation, I guess I am, aren't I? I will vote yes. Sorry about that. And I didn't say so. I voted yes on Julie's also. Okay, now we need an executive secretary in case I'm not, am I saying that right? Is it executive secretary?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Executive secretary in case we need to go into
Executive session
For any reason, which we haven't had to do, thankfully, for quite some time. But we still need one.
About a year ago.
Well, that's quite some time. A year?
Not really.
Okay. It's all in your perspective of time. Okay. At any rate, can I have nominations from the floor?
I nominate Carol Jenkins.
Okay. Carol, will you accept?
You don't have to do hardly anything.
No, I mean, the time that we went into session, the time we come out of session, and that we will go back into public session. We don't even, if we have something to vote on, we have to do that in public, but if we do not have to report on what we discussed.
It's not
then,
right? Like Kathy.
Was there a second?
No.
Is there a second?
Yeah, is there a second on Carol? Second first.
I'll second.
Julie seconds. Will you accept the position?
Let me, Carol, give you an example of what we did about a year ago.
Why do you go into executive? I don't understand.
If there is something that is very private that we really need to discuss away from the public, and then when we come back in a general way, usually, you know, maybe we have something to vote on about it. And maybe sometimes we did not need to vote on it at all. It was just something we needed to clear up. In the past, we've had some situations that actually, in my opinion, should never have happened. But, that was before we fully understood what...
Right. Let me just say that public meeting law very narrowly defines what an executive session is, what it can be used for legally, and how it has to be done. So there's no point in giving examples because it's very rare and it has to be very specific. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't be deciding whether to do it. And if something came up that the board wanted to go into session, Kathy and I would pull the law out and we'd make sure that really was correct.
Proper.
And so it's a very rarely used thing. And as I think Kathy already said, if you do go in for some reason, you don't really take minutes.
No.
You can't have record. If it's something that can be for the public, you don't go into executive session.
That's what I was going to tell Carol. The executive session secretary, what I did, all we do is we just make sure that the board stays on track.
Yeah, that we're
doing the right thing,
and in most cases, it's confidentiality or private, something that we don't want to give somebody a bad name when they don't need a bad name or whatever, or just making sure. Basically, it's making sure that the commission is on the right track, but something so that it's confidential, and we do not. If we come back into session and think we absolutely have to have a vote on something, we have to do that in public. So all you basically do is the time we went in, the time we come out, and that session has ended, and we're on to the public session.
It would be such a, it would be
it's rare.
It is very rare, very, very rare. So.
Okay, I'll do it.
You
then.
Can handle it.
Okay.
If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Okay, so Jim?
I'll vote yes.
Julie?
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Carol?
Yes. Oh.
Carol votes yes, and Daryl votes yes. Okay, so you are elected. Congratulations, and you'll do a fine job if we ever need to do it. And hopefully, we will not. So, okay, that takes care of the election.
Point of information: the just so people are aware in the public, the Julie takes over her new role at the conclusion of this meeting. Is that correct?
Right.
Right.
Oh, okay.
From now on, yeah. And she will chair the November meeting.
Oh, wow. Great. I'll be calling you.
That's okay. I'm there. I'd be very happy to give you any information. And just, I the first couple of times I worried a lot. No need to worry. It's all going to work
out.
Yeah,
we're not going to bite.
No.
Okay. Can we...
Move on to the next section.
We'll growl.
The next section is about the auditing committee and the suggestion that they had that we be more involved in the day-to-day budget process of the commission. So.
Now, Bill had sent you folks an example of... one way that, I mean, that he could send you information. That obviously was just some pretty basic information. And I also had him run a number of reports that, you know, some of it gives line items of the different parts of our budget and tells... you know, when the project was implemented, what was spent, when, why, what the balances are. Then there's more in-depth of a lot of information showing every transaction and such. Rather than, reading a lot of that in the public meeting, I would recommend that you allow me to send all of that information to you. You can take your time, go through, consider whether, is it indeed something you want to do? Is it indeed something you think it's appropriate for this board to do? The auditor makes recommendations, but that doesn't mean that that they can, dictate how a board needs to perform. And so, but definitely we'd be glad to have as much oversight as you want. We'd be glad to give you as much information all the time if you want, and then, maybe there'll be some board members from time to time that have a knack for the fiscal and would take the time to go through it. There's different ways it could be done. So I guess that would be my recommendation, just that you'd let me send the information to you next week when I get back to the office, and then you can think more about it and maybe talk about it in more depth next time.
Yeah.
It's all too overwhelming.
Commissioners, what do you think?
That's fine.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, I guess I'm getting agreements from everybody. I think, I think we obviously should look at it more closely and then make our decision. But I think getting the information together is the key thing for me.
As audits go, was this fairly normal? I mean, mm-hmm. I've never sat in on one before. I've sat in so many, when they audit our special ed files and stuff at school, and they always find something, that you can improve on. And
right.
It sounds always worse than it is when you're really sitting there, but, you kind of think, oh, my God. But was this just sort of normal
mm-hmm.
that they just find some things that they could improve on? And mm-hmm. they're not implying anything that
right.
If they were, we would have already seen it in the newspaper.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, or on the 10 o'clock news.
Yeah, didn't they, in the final report, though, it did say that they found really nothing
That's what I read, too.
Yes.
I'm comfortable with you sending
this. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, that was a good thing
right.
to get.
Yeah, I just... I don't know if we need to be involved in the operations, but it's a good idea to know this stuff.
Well, I think we need to have the information, and then, I mean, I'm not going to read, I'm not going to read every item of every page.
Right.
It was nice to sit in, though, like Julie and I did, because you, were you there too, Nancy?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, you were there.
Yes, I thought that was very good.
I mean, they were nice about it, but you could tell they were serious, so.
Right.
It was a...
Well, you know, and from their perspective, you know, probably, but, you know, I don't know. It's, but we need to look through the information. Is there anything else we need to talk about on that level? Because we're getting down to the end of the agenda here. So if nothing else, okay, the focus topics for the next few times, November is the business enterprise and vendors, and February is the, do we need to establish a date on that February?
Should we
do that?
Yes.
Okay, guys.
That's in
February.
Omaha.
That's in Omaha. Well, if we go with the current practice, it'd be the second.
The first is a Monday.
Well, if we went with the second Saturday, it'd be the 13th, and people had issues last year with Valentine's Day.
Let's see, February.
I don't personally have a problem with the 13th, but others might.
What's up? What do you guys think? You know, February 13th, that's the day before Valentine's Day.
20th. I have no preference.
Could it be the 6th?
Oh, it can be. I don't care.
What about this? I think last year we had it. We had it on the 7th.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
We did it only because of Valentine's Day.
This year.
Yeah.
I'm really good
last February.
Yeah,
right.
Last February.
I can do the 6th. That don't bother me.
What about the 6th? Is that agreeable to everybody?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll go with February 6th, which will be in Omaha, and it's the Deaf Blind Project. But I don't know if we'll be hearing, if you'll be hearing from Cheryl Pop or from the new...
Well, but it won't be, because there's no deafblind coordinator.
That's true.
So it would just be whoever works with.
Yeah, the deafblind.
Probably be Cheryl.
Okay. Okay, and then, let's see, we have other, do we need to go further and set up May, or do we?
I don't think so. I think we wait till November. May is a survey.
A lot of times in November we set up all the
next year.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we just leave that the way it is for right now?
I would.
Is that okay with you, Kathy?
Yeah. Kathy does all the coordinating.
Logisticals, and that's
that's the hard part, so.
Yeah. Let me just clarify something. Even before Cheryl was moved to the senior blind person, we no longer have a position that is deaf-blind coordinator.
Yeah,
Cheryl Poff has been an orientation counselor, but she has coordinated most of our deaf-blind services. When we had layoffs, we basically had to just do away with that position, and Cheryl became just an orientation counselor. We're kind of dividing up some of the jobs. Elaine Kavulak will coordinate the hand-in-hand deaf-blind peer support group. Cheryl Poff will still maintain the deaf-blind registry. Other people will probably do other parts of that. So while there isn't going to be a person that's the deaf-blind coordinator, we will definitely make sure we serve deaf-blind people, and that, you know, there's no lack in services there.
Okay.
So.
That sounds good. And we'll hear more about that in February.
Right.
So now we're up to public comment. So do we have any comments from the public?
Sure. It's Frank.
All right, Frank.
Earlier topic, when you oh, the people possibly doing private emails and this and that and the other thing. I got an outlook on this. When things are generally running good, the staff is happy and things are getting done. When things go right, do nothing. When things go right, don't go right, then do something. Seen this happen 1,000 times. I mean, there's no perfect human being, no perfect organization, nobody's a perfect little angel all the time. So you got to be kind of practical about this. Give you a practical example. Choo Choo Land, where I work. When I first went to work at Choo Choo Land, the Alliance Mechanical Diesel Shop at BNSF and Alliance. Okay. People were, you know, they had scheduled break times and scheduled lunch times. Okay, people were stretching it here, stretching it there. If there were no motors in the shop or their work was all done, they'd go hide somewhere and play pitch. Nobody said nothing. And you know what? They popped 30 motors out of that shop in a day. Along came Mr. Craig Hill, and they were going to lean this down and lean that down, and we got to do more with less while Rob Krebs takes 17 business, or not Rob Krebs, what's his name, Matt Rose, takes 17 business cars to the Super Bowl. More with less, lean this down, chop this, cut that. Oh, you better not be taking any more than a 10-minute break or you get... You know what? They don't get jack squat out of that shop. For one thing, they pissed off the workforce. So it's like if you keep the folks happy, if things are wheeling along good, you know, give the horses oats and let them run. Point number two, political correctness or incorrectness of the person who wrote that email. Well, this country has a First Amendment, and I hope to be the first one to be so politically incorrect that I get to be the first admission to the Bush-Cheney Obama FEMA concentration camps for speaking out, although I probably won't make that. But when in doubt, tell the truth, and it's the truth that sets you free. If that person gave that email, it's how he felt. He had a right to say so. Take it up. You know what? If somebody can tell me that I'm a real fill in the blank, because I probably ain't supposed to cuss on public record, you know what? And I have the same freedom of speech that you have to tell me about what a loudmouth fill in the blank I am, and I have just as much freedom to tell you to go pound sand, okay? Because that is what made America America. So, you know, hey, as far as if the guy's got to speak up and speak up anonymously, then he ain't got, you know, either put his name to it and have the intestacular fortitude to stand up and say what's on his mind, or shut up. But at least honor him for saying that and say, well, what makes you say that? He may be trying to try and figure out how to serve an extra client with that half hour of time to where if the guy's spouse could fill that out, hey, it'll help him get to another person. Because I know I watched, if Dan Hotfoot sit around all over the place and he's constantly busy and trying to do everything for everybody as much as he can, and God bless everybody for that. I mean, people are trying. You're in the same situation and trying to do more with less. Maybe that guy's trying to be more efficient. It may not necessarily be his philosophy. It may be a momentary problem he was trying to solve. Anyway, I'll shut up and give this to somebody else. And remember, I told you I'm the son, I'm the guy you want to forget anyway.
Thank you. Yeah. There you go.
Now, we appreciate comments from people, and all opinions can be stated in public forums. Any other comments from the audience? Hearing none, we'll go to final announcements. Do we have any final announcements to make? I don't know of any.
I don't have any.
I have a final comment to make, and this is a very positive comment because I am usually positive sometimes. Sometimes, I said.
That is a real contradiction.
That depends on your viewpoint. Anyway, I said it privately. I want to say publicly. Nancy, I think you've been chair, what, for 2 years, 3 years, something like that?
Two.
And at least one that I've been, one and a half that I've been on the board. And well, you and I always haven't agreed on everything. Of course, nobody does. You've done a good job, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate, you know, it's gotten to some interesting discussions at times. And I don't think that's a bad thing, personally, because I think even stuff that you don't disagree with, if you can't face things that you don't that you disagree with, then your argument hasn't been all that good either. Yep. So,
and we had a couple things this year that came up, you know, spur of the moment. And
this is true.
It's very,
this is true, and we,
you've done a good job of getting us together and taking care of this.
Yeah, I really appreciate the chance to have been chairman, and I thank you for the privilege of doing so, and for you guys voting me in. It's been very interesting and something I will remember forever. If there are no other announcements, we will adjourn officially.
All right.
Thank you, everybody, for coming.